All of us want our relationship with God to grow. We want our life as Christians to be fruitful or productive. Not successful, as the world defines what is success, but in terms of growing deeper in our relationship with the Lord and through the Lord, understanding who we are and deepening our relationship with one another. For to be a Christian alone means not to be a Christian at all. As Tertullian said in the early church, which was repeated by Pope Benedict XVI. But at times we get frustrated in our desire to grow, because we feel that there are certain things that happen over and over again that we're not able to overcome. Sometimes people go to receive the sacrament of reconciliation and penance, and they feel that they confess the same sins over and over and over and over again, and that they are not growing. And so the temptation is to think, what is the use of coming to the sacrament? Now, I've said in those cases that if the Lord says that we are to forgive each other 77 times 7, which means every time someone asks for forgiveness between human beings, certainly God is not going to do anything less than that. The mercies of the Lord are inexhaustible. We certainly shouldn't take advantage of it. We shouldn't say it's a license to sin, but it's a license to give up sin and to overcome what causes us to sin with the help of the Lord's love at work within us. But the devil can use that frustration with doing the same things over and over again that hinder our growth to invite us to give up or just to become apathetic. We may still come to Holy Mass, but we're apathetic about the whole thing. But the Lord teaches us in the gospel reading today that indeed his disciples are called to grow in the way of life, in following the way of life that he sets before us. He talks about obstacles which we can overcome, but in doing so also gives us the opportunities we can take up to grow in the Christian life. The gospel reading begins saying that Jesus sees a large crowd and he's ready to teach near the sea shore there. And Jesus is not impressed with the great crowds. Great crowds have members in it that have different motivations for being there. Everyone's not a disciple of the Lord. Some are curious. Some are content, want to be contentious. Some just want to see some miracles as kind of an entertaining thing to see. He knows that some are not really disposed to want to hear what he has to say. For before he engages in this teaching mission, in the 13th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, he has to deal with people who just refuse to repent. They do not want to listen to his teaching. And then he has the Pharisees, some of whom are plotting to get him killed. So he knows everyone does not have good intentions in the crowd. Jesus begins to preach in parables. And this technique would use a common situation in society and related to how God relates to us or how we are to relate to God or to one another. But he uses that common situation and he gives it a twist that makes people sit and think about what the Lord is talking about. It's important in the Christian life not always to be reactive, just like in other aspects of life. It's important to be reflective as we deal with life as well. It's important to take the time to do that. And Jesus knew that there would be some people who would take the time to reflect on the parables that he offered, and some people who would just dismiss it outright and go on with other things. Yet, he continues to teach. And so he begins the first of a series of parables in the 13th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. And after he says the parable that we heard in the Gospel reading, his disciples ask, "Why are you teaching them in parables?" And Jesus said, "I'm teaching in parables because I know everyone's not here for good reasons. And those who are disposed to listen to me will listen and understand. Those who are not disposed will get what they have set themselves up not to hear." Which calls to mind again what I've often said, if anyone comes to Mass expecting nothing to happen for them, nothing will happen for them, because they have set themselves up to say nothing will happen. It's not because the Lord Jesus is not effective. It's not because the Lord Jesus isn't present in the different ways that he is. The Lord Jesus is always effective. The Lord Jesus is always present. But the person who thinks nothing is going to happen, and I'm just biding my time to about 5 o'clock, is closing themselves off to what Jesus wants to present, to what Jesus wants to provide. And so Jesus said, "I say these parables just like any other forms of teaching I give, and I know that there are people who are going to stop and think and be reflective, and there are others who are just going to say, 'I don't understand, and I'm out of here.'" Or, "What happened to the miracles? I came to see miracles. I didn't come to see him talk." And then Jesus explains the parable. And in doing so, he helps us to see how we can grow in the Christian life. But be aware, it's going to take time, just like it takes time to plant a seed into the ground, to cultivate it, the seed to sprout through the soil, and then up out of the soil, and to grow to fruition. It's going to take time. Jesus says, gives four responses to his teaching, using the parable of a farmer who sowed. But it was kind of strange because he kind of scattered the seed everywhere. Probably in real life, you know, a farmer who did that seemed to be wasting his time and wasting precious seed. But Jesus wanted to illustrate the generosity of God in offering his word and communicating to us, even if people are not disposed to listen at first. And so Jesus says there's several responses people have as he preaches and teaches. First of all, he says the seed sown on the path is one who hears the word of the kingdom without understanding it, and the evil one comes and steals away what was sown in his heart. So, in other words, it's someone who hears but does not want to understand. We know there's a difference between hearing and listening. Like in this church, some people are hearing me say words, but they're probably not, may not be listening. We get distracted with many things now. They're wonderful inventions, the phone, the tablet, 20,000 channels on the cable or Fios or whatever. And especially the phone, we can get distracted with the phone. I remember talking with a family member and I got distracted with the phone. Family member, I heard the family member talk. I was not listening to the family member until the family member said something outlandish like elephants eating cats. And I said, "What did you say? What did you say?" And she was trying to make a point to listen to what she had to say there. Now, certainly, hopefully in homilies, I'm not saying anything outlandish, and hopefully people will listen. But Jesus knows the difference between hearing and listening. And some people just hear words and don't even want to understand it. And that was their disposition, and therefore they receive what they were disposed to do. Then Jesus talks about those who have the disposition to really listen to the word. He says, the seed sown on rocky ground is the one who hears the word and receives it at once with joy. Jesus is saying this, but he has no root and lasts only for a time. And when some tribulation or persecution comes because of the word, he immediately falls away. So another reason why people don't grow in the Christian life is that they'll listen and they'll accept the word of God as long as it sounds good. But then when they try to live according to that word and they experience trouble precisely because they're living according to that word, they do not have confidence that the message they had received from the Lord is sound for their life. And they're ready to give it up. They're not really willing to be patient. And they allow the word that they had received to cause them, they allow the word that they have received to leave them. And then they also leave the path of discipleship. They only accepted the word of God when times felt good. They didn't feel the word of God was going to be effective when times were difficult. That's why some people do not grow. Jesus gives a third reason. Now you know why I didn't do the long form today. He gives a third reason. Jesus said, the seed sown among thorns is the one who hears the word, but then worldly anxiety and the lure of riches choke the word, and it bears no fruit. So first you have people who hear the word, but they're not really listening to it. Secondly, you have people who hear the word and receive it promptly, at once with joy, but only when it feels good. When life gets difficult, they don't want to follow the word anymore, and they fall away, Jesus says. The third thing is, they hear the word of God, they receive that word, but they allow the message of the word of God to be choked by filling their minds with worldly anxiety and the lure of riches. Anxiety and attachments to things. Again, as I said last week, worrying, thinking that they can solve the problem all by themselves. Attracted to possessions, thinking that that will define their self-worth instead of being a beloved child of God. So that crowds out the word of God, and they're not disposed because they don't want to define their lives based on who God is, but who they think they are. They can handle their problems by themselves. What they own defines who they are, particularly in comparison to others. That's why some Christians don't grow. Again, the disposition that the Christian has. Now, we can look at those three aspects and say, for those who do that, there's no hope. But Jesus didn't say that. That's not the reason why he gave the parable. He gave the parable to warn us to avoid the obstacles that prevent us from growing as Christians, and also to see if we do have those obstacles that we need to work with the Lord to root it out. Because in the fourth instance, Jesus says, but the seed sown on rich soil is the one who hears the word and understands it. So again, Jesus is talking about hearing and understanding, and that understanding does not mean just an intellectual knowledge, but it is shown not only through comprehending what's being said, but then having what the Lord says shape our conduct. That person will grow in the Christian life. They will not allow worldly anxiety or the lure of riches to choke off the word. They will not allow tribulation and persecution to have them run away. They will not just hear what Jesus has to say, but not really have it affect their lives. They take the time to be reflective. They receive that word. They ponder on it. They learn lessons. They apply that lesson to their life. Kind of reiterates what was said last week. Maybe God is trying to tell us something again about the importance of the Word of God in our lives, and that if we do not have time to meditate on the Word of God, we're really saying to God, I'm just too busy to communicate with you this way. And certainly, Jesus says, we're going to stunt our growth as Christians if we say to him, we're just too busy to really listen. We do have to be reactive to things that happen in life, but we can probably have better reactions if we take time to be reflective. And so, what I invite us to consider is the practice in the church called the examen, E-X-A-M-E-N. A popular examen by St. Ignatius, the founder of the Jesuits, but people take examens in different ways. Here's my way, which I guess is partially based on St. Ignatius. But it's important to be reflective, to look at, are there any obstacles that hinder me from growing as a disciple of Christ? And if so, why do I allow it to continue to happen? What do I need to do with God's help? And so, take a few moments at the end of the day, or maybe earlier, if you think you're going to fall asleep without doing it. Pray about your day with the Lord. Go through the day. Thank God for different things. Thank you, God, for waking me up. Thank you that I have food to eat. Thank you that I have clothes to wear. Shoes to put on my feet. Thank you for my family. I had that phone call today from my mother. Thank you for the residence I live in. Some people don't have residences. And then other blessings that may have happened that day. But as you go through the day, you also may see things, Lord, I really didn't mean to say what I said to her. I was impatient with her, and that wasn't right. And I did apologize to her, but I want to apologize to you. Lord, he was talking with me, and I was looking at my phone. He said, are you listening to me? I said, yeah, I'm listening to you, but I really wasn't. Lord, I did this thing, you know, I wanted to look good, but inside, that wasn't my intention. Well, it was. I just wanted to look good. It really didn't reflect what I thought on the inside. I really need to change that. And so, again, these things are not to, you know, tear us down. We look at each other in the light of God's love for us, and that we are his beloved children, and there are opportunities to take up and obstacles we need to move away. So it's not to, like, just, you know, hammer ourselves into the ground. You did this wrong, you did that wrong, you did this wrong, you did that. It's, I want to love God fully. I want to love myself appropriately. I want to love my neighbors appropriately. And so, yeah, these things get in the way. So, and then if you do that examine each day, you see a pattern there, a pattern of God's blessings, but maybe a pattern of obstacles too. And then that provides fodder to say, well, Lord, help me to work on paying it, for instance, truly listening to people. Help me to put my phone down when people are talking with me and truly listen to them. I'm going to make that resolve. And then we try to do that. Now, if we mess that up, we try again. We don't say, well, I tried it once, not going to try it again. And then if the Lord leads you, you see patterns of sin, to come to the sacrament of reconciliation and penance. And to say, here are my sins, and I need forgiveness for them. And to hear the Lord say through the ministry of the church, may God grant you pardon and peace. I think if we are reflective, preach it to myself as well, we take the time to be reflective, we will see the opportunities that God presents to us each day in life and ask God to help us to take hold of them. And we will see any obstacles that may hinder our growth and ask God to help us to get rid of them. And then the setbacks that we have endured and thinking that we're just never going to change and we're never going to grow, all those concerns pass away as we continue to cooperate with the Lord day by day. And now let us profess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible,